Blog Talk Radio.
In the last days, Israel shall rise again as a mighty nation. Gentile peoples shall serve her. Zion shall be established. Finally, they shall dwell in celestial splendor. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gate shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
Right, he's faithful, yeah. All right, family, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, your host, your servant, as well as your friend, Sister Georgia. Today, family, it's the 22nd of April, 2014, and we will have a lesson entitled The Wife and Children of Whoredoms. So you know we'll be going to the book of Hosea and many other places. But we're going to have this lesson led by Brother Jonathan. I'll be here as well. And we're going to get to some important information because, you see, family, many people don't realize. All you got to do is read it. If you're reading the scripture, of course you have to have understanding, but spiritually, if you're reading it, it's clear who that abomination, that woman of abomination, that whore spoken of Revelation is in chapter 17. It's obvious, but you must read with understanding. I have actually heard many people break down Hosea, and they're speaking of a prostitute. Like that's what Gomer was, and Hosea took her, you know, and cleaned her up. But if you're not getting understanding that we're talking about Israel, we're talking about our father, we're talking about Yahushua, this is all it is. It's only three, I want to say, entities spoken of always throughout the scripture because this is our history book. You're always going to hear about the father, you're going to hear about his people, and you're going to hear the mediator between him and his people, which is that man Yahushua. That's all you hear in the scriptures. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, that's all it's speaking of. There's no four powers of authority. If you do not come to this word spiritual, if you do not want to hear the truth as our Father has written it and preserved it with correct understanding, precepting, rightly dividing the word, well, then you're at the wrong place because we're going to speak our Father's word in truth and in spirit. But I welcome everyone. This is going to be another lesson where I'm praying that you guys are paying attention and you're getting something out of this. So before we get started any further, I'm going to bring on our brother, and let me get him on real quick. Shabbat Shalom. How you doing, Brother Jonathan?
Shalom. You can hear me?
Yes, I can, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, sister.
Brother, if you want to open up and everything, right before you get into the lesson, I have something I want to say, but, you know, go ahead and take over it and just let me in before you start the lesson, okay?
All right. Hey, well, Shalom, Israel. I hope everybody doing good. I'm doing well myself. It's a pleasure, you know, to bring this lesson today. Let's get further, you know, in the truth of our Father's word so we can get this kingdom, you know. So without further ado, I'm going to go into prayer. Father Yahuwah, give you praise today and we thank you. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you for being our protector, our provider. We thank you, even though we're in the land of our captivity, that you haven't forgot about your people. That slowly but surely you're waking your people up. And we thank you for that. And, Father, we just ask that, that for the sins that we committed, Father, that you forgive us for those. And that as we go into your word, that you continue to cleanse our minds and our hearts from the filthiness of this world and just help us to focus on your word that we may be righteous children of yours. I just ask, Father, as I go into your word that that the words that come out of my mouth be clear, Yahuwah, to the people that they may understand the truth of your word. Yahuwah, I just pray that for all the people that's under the sound of my voice, that may be going through anything, Yahuwah, that needs a touch from you, that needs a word from you, some encouragement, anything, Father, that you lift their broken hearts. I pray all these in the name of Yahushua.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. I just want to start off because I want to get everybody's mind on the truth of the Father's word to start off with. We're going to be going. This is Brother Jonathan's lesson. I just want to open it up with some information just to get everybody back on track. Now, he's going to be reading out of the book of Hosea, chapter 1 and 2, and he's going to be precepting and so forth and give an understanding, okay? But I want to take everybody quickly before he gets started. I just want to read and let everybody understand what's going on. my phone. Okay, I'm sorry about that, family. My phone is acting up a little bit. But because, you know, when I hear the messages that are going out right now, especially when they try to do with revelations, the people are just leavened up. They're full of confusion, full of Babylon. The truth is not being spoken. The famine is in the land right now, not of bread nor for water, but for the truth of our Father's word. It's not being spoken. So I want to just give everyone a little understanding, because you got to read the book of, you got to read the Old Covenant, you know, and really all of it. You got to read the Torah. You got to understand what was happening with our people in order to get this. The first line, the first verse of Hosea 1, verse 1 reads, "The word of Yahuwah that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel." Now, this is not the first Joash, the son of Nebat, that, you know, took a day, the same day that the southern kingdom was celebrating in Jerusalem. He, you know, built an altar, two golden cows, and he started getting those high hills and those groves together for the people to worship, taking the bases of men and putting them as high priests. This is not that Jeroboam. We're talking about later on. You get to understand it in 2 Kings. And I want to go there just for a quick second just to give you a little reflection on what's going on. Remember, right from the beginning, when King Solomon married those strange women and started building temples for them, that really began it, because that's when the nation of Israel was split into two kingdoms, both Judah, the southern kingdom, as well as Israel, the northern kingdom. And then when you start to understand right off the bat, Israel, the northern kingdom, started up idolatry right off the bat. And if you read the book of Kings, you'll see that they just stayed in it, whereas Judah, backsliding Judah, got into it as well. As you go further down in 2 Kings, you understand they got into it as well. But it's important to understand which king we're talking about. What was it that Israel was doing? We know they'll say Ephraim, leave her to her idols and things like that in the scripture. But many people, I don't know, they take the word whore and adulteress and harlot. And when you look in today's world, you think of a prostitute. But see, that's not what the scriptures are speaking of. Our Father is speaking of his people, the woman, Israel, the church, the assembly. That's what he's speaking of. And you must understand that. So when we go to 2 Kings, write down the scriptures, family, if you don't have your Bible open. Write down the scriptures. When you go to 2 Kings chapter 14, I'm just going to quickly read verses 23 to 29 for you. And this deals with Jeroboam. It says, "In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria." This is the northern kingdom. It was called Samaria. "And reigned 41 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of our father. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat." Now that was the first king of Israel, "who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of Yahuwah, father of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant, by the hand of his servant Jonah," okay, "the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-hepher." Verse 26, "For Yahuwah saw the affliction of Israel," this is the northern kingdom, "that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And Yahuwah said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under the heavens, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash." And the reason why that's important is, as we read Hosea, you're going to get the understanding of the engrafting in. You know, you're going to get the understanding of the two sticks that are put together. You're going to get the understanding, we're talking about Israel, the nation of Israel, both the northern and southern kingdom. So when you go to Revelations and it's telling you this great whore, and then we read about how we were harlots and it was a kingdom of whoredom and so forth, you're going to get the understanding. You should start linking it up, family. Now, it says in verse 20, now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did and his might and how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah, for Israel. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel. And Zechariah, his son, reigned in his stead. You can read more about that. Just pick it up at 2 Kings chapter 14. Keep going forward. Many may not know. We know that Hosea spoke about this time when Jeroboam was reigning during that time period. Many might not realize that many of the prophets, that's what they're speaking about, is a time of kings, okay, when the kings were reigning. And you wonder, some of the language that is spoken in Revelations that speaks of the kings and the queens and so forth. Pay attention to all this, family. But it's important to know that so did Amos. He spoke of the wickedness, this time period where the northern kingdom, Israel, was under Jeroboam. I'm not going to read all that to you, but I advise you to read that yourself. I'll be doing a lesson, probably next lesson, and we'll go into that. But it tells us in Amos 1, verse 1, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. So I'm going to leave it right there, but I want you to know, if you go back to the book of Kings, you could understand what are they speaking about whores and whoredom. What is Revelation speaking of? What do you think Hosea is in reference for your understanding to get out of it? And I just want to add that before our brother starts with Hosea 1. So that your mind is set on, we're talking about Israel. This is all about Israel. So, brother, go ahead and take over, please. I just want to add that little bit to get the family, you know, in the mode and understanding of what we're getting ready to speak of.
Okay, cool. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Now, Israel, family, before I get started, I want to lay down some things. I know I hear it a lot in Israel when I'm listening to different teachings and different people from, you know, the different camps here and there, and all the people across Israel. They say one thing, one people saying another, this people saying another thing. One people say that Gentiles can come in, and other people say Gentiles can't come in. You get one people say that Yahushua will die for the whole world, and you get one people say, no, he only died for Israel. So today, including in this lesson, I hope that we can make some of this stuff clear. But the point that, you know, I'm going to bring out and show is that we, Israel, was committing whoredom, okay? And that's why, and it was two different kingdoms, whether if you don't know this, I'm pretty sure everybody do. In Israel, there was the southern kingdom, which consisted of Judah, Levi, and Benjamin, and the northern kingdom, which will sometimes be referred to as the house of Israel or Ephraim, which consisted of the rest of the tribes of Israel. Okay, so sometimes when we see in scriptures, sometimes now, you'll see when it says the house of Israel, most of the times they're referring to the northern kingdom, but sometimes it'll be referring to the entire house of Israel, all the 12 tribes, and when you're referring to the southern kingdom, it's called Judah. Okay, and in the New Testament, this is why some people get confused, because you see Jews and you see Gentiles, and you don't see anything that says Ephraim in the New Testament. You don't see anything that say anything that referring to the northern kingdom, and that's why we get confused. But when we go over these scriptures, we're going to see where Israel was broken, where it was not a people anymore, and they were given another name. Okay? And we're going to go through the scriptures to see that. Sister, are you going to read for me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, cool. We're going to start off with Hosea, the first chapter, verses 1 through 1 and 2.
All right. I just gave the link to the chat room. Open up your scriptures, family. We're at Hosea 1. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. the word of Yahuwah that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of Yahuwah by Hosea. And Yahuwah said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the father, Yahuwah.
Okay, thank you. All right, Sister just read verses 1 through 2. Okay, we need to know that Hosea was from the northern kingdom. Okay, he was from Ephraim. He was from the northern. He was a prophet sent from the Most High in the times of the king. Okay, and this Jeroboam that we see right now is not the Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon. Okay, this Jeroboam is Jeroboam the son of Joash. The Jeroboam in the servant of Solomon was the son of Nebat. Okay, and you get a lot of people, when they read Hosea, they say that Hosea went and got him an whore, like a prostitute, and that it's okay. You know, specifically, I'm going to call him this camp out, GMS, especially say that you can go and sleep with hoes, okay, or whores. But that's not true, okay? The Most High never gave us permission to do that. Never. Even in this example where he told Hosea to go and get a wife of whoredoms. Okay, so let's read. I'm gonna read verse 2. It says, "The beginning of the word of Yahuwah by Hosea, and Yahuwah said to Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredom, and children of whoredom, for the land have committed great whoredom, departing from Yahuwah." So it's telling you who committed the whoredom, the land, okay? A land cannot go get prostitutes or do anything like that. The land, the people of the land was committing great whoredoms, the people. So he told Hosea to go get one of those people that was committing great whoredoms. Like I was saying, Hosea was from Ephraim, the 10 tribes. Just if you read in Second Kings in the history of our people, you will see that it was always a remnant. Okay, it was a remnant in Judah. It was always a remnant in Ephraim. Everybody from Ephraim did not get broke off. Some of the people from Ephraim still came up and was living righteous before the Most High, and Hosea was one of them. Okay, so he told Hosea to go and get a wife from the people that was committed whoredom or idolatry. And we're going to see that. Sister, can you go to Leviticus chapter 17 and read verses 1 through 7 for me?
Okay, Leviticus 17?
Yeah.
1 through 17?
No. Okay. 1 through 7. It's 1 through 7.
Oh, 1 through 7? Okay, I'm almost there. Okay. And I'll give the link to the chat room as well. Although all you have to do, family, this is the link I give you. If you have the link to the scriptures that I gave you, just go ahead and type in the word Leviticus 17, okay? And you should be able to get to it. Okay, there is your link. Now, Leviticus 17, verse 1. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, This is the thing which Yahuwah hath commanded, saying, What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Most High Yahuwah before the tabernacle of Yahuwah, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Most High Yahuwah, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priests, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Most High. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the on the altar of Yahuwah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savior unto Yahuwah. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations.
Okay. Thank you, sister. So we just see in Leviticus where the Most High gave the commandment for Moses to tell the children of Israel, when you sacrifice, make sure all your sacrifices are to me and me alone. Don't be going out sacrificing to nobody else but the Most High. That's the commandment, okay? In verse 7 it says, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And we can see that's why our people are in the position that we are in today. We went a-whoring after other gods. Okay, even when the Most High was a husband unto us, gave us everything we need, we still wanted Egypt, we still wanted other gods, we wanted to do what we wanted to do. We didn't want to serve the Most High. Okay? So we just read right here. We went a-whoring. Okay? Now we're going to go back to the book of Hosea. I'm going to read verse 2 again. It says, the beginning of the word that Yahuwah by Hosea and said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from Yahuwah. Just like we just read in Leviticus, people who were sacrificing unto devils, they went a-whoring, okay? So that's what the Most High told Hosea to get. And he's symbolizing this as Israel and him, because he is our husband, okay? Now, sister, will you read verses 3 and 4?
All right. Verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, and bare him a son. And Yahuwah said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel.
Okay, thank you. So, like, if you go back and read in the book in 2 Kings, you'll see the history of it, okay? Well, Jehu, I want to say, was the king at that time, and he was committing wickedness, just like a lot of our kings. Most of them committed wickedness, okay, and caused our people to go a-whoring after other gods, and they struck fear in the people, okay? So I'm going to read verse 4 again. It says, and Yahuwah said unto him, call his name, this is the son, that Hosea, first son, call his name Jezreel, okay? And the word Jezreel means the Most High souls or God souls, okay? Or it could mean the seed of Israel, okay? It said, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. And I will cause to cease the kingdom of Israel. I will cause to cease, or I will cause it to be no more, the kingdom of Israel. Okay? So, could you go down and read, you read verses 3 and 4. Could you read 5 and 6?
Verse 5. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And Yahuwah said unto him, call her name Leruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away.
Okay, thank you. All right, and remember, family, what I said at first. We had the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom was referred to as the House of Israel. The Southern Kingdom was referred to as the House of Judah. So let me read verse 5 again, 5 and 6. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Okay? And she conceived again. Gomer conceived and bare a daughter. And Yahuwah said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away, that they should not be a people, okay? Utterly take them away, remove them, cease, just like we read in the earlier scriptures, okay? So the daughter now, the second child that Hosea had named her Loruhamah, which means no mercy. So the Most High was, Loruhamah was a symbol of the house of Israel, or the Northern Kingdom, that they wasn't going to have any mercy anymore, because just like in Leviticus, what I read, they went a-whoring, sacrificing to other gods. Just like King Solomon, okay, he did that. He went sacrificing to other gods, marrying these strange women, who the Most High told him not to deal with, because they were going to change his heart and he was going to sacrifice them to their God. David said, the Most High did not snatch the kingdom away from Solomon, but he snatched it away from his son Rehoboam and his servant Jeroboam and split the kingdoms. He gave the northern kingdom, or the house of Israel, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and he gave the Judah unto Rehoboam. Okay? So, sister, can you read? Well, keep in mind, family, in verse 6, where he said, Loruhamah, which means no mercy, okay? And he's continuing to say that he was going to utterly take them away, or utterly destroy them, or break them, or they were going to seize where they were not going to be a people anymore, okay? Sister, can you read the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 8.
Chapter 7, verse 8.
Okay.
Okay, one second, brother. Isaiah. Okay. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and I'm going to read verse 8. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that is, it be not a people.
Okay. Read verse 9 for me, too.
And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramallah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established.
Okay, so we just read in verse 8 of Isaiah where he said Ephraim, or the house of Israel, or the northern kingdom, was going to be broken, and it shall not be a people. And if you go back and read in the history back in 2 Kings, you will see when the two tribes were broken, they became enemies, okay? They became enemies, and that's why you can even see it today within our tribes, that we hate each other. And the kingdoms literally was trying to go to war with each other. But the Most High said, no, this is of me. Let it happen, okay? Because Rehoboam tried to go to war and get the rest of the kingdoms back to him through warfare. But he said, the Most High said, no, it's not going to happen. Because this split is of me. Because the northern kingdom, specifically, and also Judah, committed whoredom, was committed idolatry. Okay? And we just read that back in Leviticus 17, that if you committed whoredom, you were going to be utterly destroyed or taken away. Okay? Sister, can you go back to Hosea, and we're going to read verses 7 and 7 through 9, 7 through 9.
Okay, Hosea chapter 1, verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by Yahuwah their father, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horse, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Laruma, she conceived and bare a son. Then said Yahuwah, call his name Loamin, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your father.
Okay. Thank you. We just read right here. She had a son. I mean, had a daughter, whose name was Laruama, which meant no mercy. Okay? Then the Most High they told him to name their next son Loami, which means, well, you're not my people. Okay? So we see that Hosea done birthed three children. Okay? We have Jezreel, which means the seed of Israel. He had Laruhamah, which means no mercy, which he referred to as the northern kingdom, and Loami, which means you are not my people, okay? And you can see that all these are symbolic for the house of Israel. Just like we read back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 8, that Ephraim, or the northern kingdom, or the house of Israel, was going to be broken, that it was not going to be a people. So that's why you all that we can see in the New Testament, we can see why they did not have their name. They would be referred to as Gentiles or strangers, okay, or even sojourners, all right, or even the Greeks, because we were scattered everywhere. They were broken. That they do not, just like today, nothing new up under the sun. We got some people who know who we are, and we got some people who don't, because of how people was broken. Okay? Now, sis, can you go to 2 Kings chapter 17 and start and read verses 18 through 23 for me?
Okay, 2 Kings chapter 18?
Chapter 17, verses 18 through 23.
Okay. All right. 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 18. Therefore, Yahuwah was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of Yahuwah their father, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And Yahuwah rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers, until he cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Most High, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them, until Yahuwah removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day.
Can you read that last verse for me one more time?
Until Yahuwah removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day.
Okay, thank you. So you see right now that the Most High said that he said that Israel was going to be moved out of his sight through his servants, the prophets. He said it through Isaiah, with Isaiah 7:8, where he said Ephraim was going to be broken, that it should not be a people. And now he's saying it through Hosea, when he said, when he had the child, Laruhamah,
but you wasn't going to have no mercy. And he had Loami also, where he said Israel was not going to be my people. So he done said it through the prophets, in and out, throughout the Old Testament, and even through the New Testament, okay, that he sent his prophets and his servants to his people to prophesy unto them, okay?
Now, back to Hosea, sister, could you finish that up, verses 10 and 11?
Okay.
Well, before you read that, you got anything to add?
Well, we have 12 minutes and 38 seconds. We only listen to this show for an hour, and we can go in a little bit into overtime for about another half hour. My computer's sick, and that's why I'm trying to get this computer back. Oh, my goodness. Hold on a second, brother. I'm just going to refresh my screen because I can't do anything right this second. My whole computer froze. Here it goes. I'll wait till we get to the third hour to add a little bit. I'm not going to add it now. I'll just wait till, you know, the third hour, excuse me. I'll wait till we go in overtime to add what I need to add. So you want me to finish up, I forgot where I left off in Hosea 1.
It's going to be 10 and 11.
Okay. Verse 10 out of the first chapter of the book of Hosea. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Father Yahuwah. Then shall the children of Judah, the southern kingdom, and the children of Israel, the northern kingdom, be gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. Brother? I think your phone's acting up. I can't hear you. Let me check.
Is that better?
Okay, I can hear you. Yes, I can. I can hear you now.
Okay. So we just seen where the Most High said through Hosea that at the place where it was said unto you that you are not my people, there you shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Yahuwah. Okay? And it was a reason for that, because it was the penalty for idolatry, as we read in the law, was cut off completely. And I got another precept for that. Sister, could you give me Exodus 22 and verse 20?
Okay. Exodus 22, verse 30.
Verse 20.
Okay, Exodus 22, verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He that sanctifieth unto any god, save unto Yahuwah only, he shall be utterly destroyed.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Okay. This is taken out of the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 20. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto Yahuwah only, he shall be utterly destroyed.
We just read that anybody that sacrifices to any god except Yahuwah, they were going to be utterly destroyed. Okay? So we see right here where the Most High said that through your whoredom, Israel, I wasn't going to have any mercy on you. Okay? And through your whoredom, Israel, you're not going to be called my people anymore. Northern kingdom. Okay? But the reason why he had, like I read in verse 7 of Hosea, he was going to have mercy on Judah, okay, through his,
by his servant King David, okay? He loved the King David, and he made a promise unto him, okay? But the only way that the two kingdoms were going to come back together was through our king, Yahushua, okay? It was no more hope for them, no more hope for the northern kingdom. But Yahushua, okay? And that's one of the mysteries throughout the scripture. And that's one of the things that most people don't get when they go to the New Testament. They see the Jews and the Gentiles, okay? The Most High is not throwing away his people at all. He didn't forget about the northern kingdom. He haven't forgot about the southern kingdom, okay? But through Yahushua, we were going to become this one new body, okay? It wasn't going to be any more Jew or Gentile or Yahuda or Gentile anymore because they were called Gentiles. Now, their name was cut off. They didn't have a name anymore, okay? And we're going to see that also in the scripture. Could you go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, and read verses 5 through 8?
All right, I'm just refreshing my page again. Unfortunately, what I get with Blog Talk, everything always sticks. So I might have to take out my handheld Bible. You said Isaiah 55?
56.
Isaiah 56, okay. I'm going through my handheld Bible here. It's a little quicker. Okay, Isaiah 56, verse 55?
No. So you can start that verse. Well, Isaiah 56, read verses 1 through 8.
Okay, Isaiah 56, beginning at verse 1. Thus said Yahuwah, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Shabbat from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to Yahuwah speak, saying, Yahuwah hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus said Yahuwah unto the eunuch that keepeth my Shabbats, and choose the thing that pleased me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to Yahuwah to serve him and to love the name of Yahuwah to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Shabbats from polluting it and taking hold of my garment. Even them will I bring to my set-apart mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people.
Stop right
Yahuwah,
there. Stop right there.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm gonna say something in his seventh verse where most people get tripped up on. We see here in verse 7, he says, even them will I bring to my set-apart mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Okay? And when we see this all people, we say, oh, okay, he was talking about everybody. It's going to be a house of prayer for everybody. But no, that's not it. Sister, can you read verse 8 for me?
Isaiah 56, verse 8.
Yep.
Yahuwah, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, besides those that are gathered unto him.
Okay. So we see right here who he was talking about for all people. This is Yahuwah. Will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered to him? We've seen all the way through scripture where Yahuwah said that he was going to have mercy upon Judah. Judah was already gathered unto him, and the remnant of the northern kingdom was already gathered. So the outcast that Yahuwah was gathering unto him, or the outcast that he was going to give a new name to, names that are greater than sons and daughters, and he was going to let in the gate, just like the gate in Revelation, the 21st chapter, the gates where all the names of the children of Israel was on, he was going to give that to the northern kingdom, okay? Because the northern kingdom didn't have a name anymore. They were cut off, that they should not be a people. They were seized
from being before the Most High because they committed whoredom. They was committing whoredom in the land, okay? And they were cut off. And the only way that they could come back to the Most High was through the death, the burial, and resurrection of our King, the Messiah, Yahushua. Okay? That's the only way. So that's why in the New Testament, when you see the Jews, the Gentiles, strangers, all of this, all of that, it's only referring to Israel. And that's it. That's it. Okay? I want to read one quick scripture. This is John, the 7th chapter, verse 35. St. John, the 7th chapter, verse 35. Okay? And it reads, I'm going to start at verse 33. Then said Yahushua unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then the Jews or Yehuda or the southern kingdom said among themselves, whether will he go that we should not find him? Because they were being carnal. Yahushua said he was going to be with his father, but they was like, where he going to go? They were being carnal, having an earthly mindset, saying, where he going to go on earth? This way, listen to what the southern kingdom said. Will he go unto the dispersed or the scattered among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? So we see right here in Scripture what the southern kingdom was saying, because they knew that eventually the northern kingdom was going to have to come back. So they said, where he's going to go? He's going to go teach the Gentiles or the northern kingdom amongst the Gentiles or the heathens? Because they were scattered everywhere. They were scattered among the heathens. So that's why he said, are you going to go teach the Gentiles that are among the Gentiles? Because the northern kingdom was called Gentiles in the new covenant. Okay? Now, sister, we're going to go back to the book of Hosea, chapter 2, and I want to read verses, 17 through, and finish up that chapter. Chapter 2. Verse 17 through 23. Can you get that for me? Sister, can you hear me?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was talking the whole time. Okay. So Hosea chapter 2, verses 17 to 23.
Yeah, 17 to 23.
Okay. Beginning at verse 17. For I will take away the name of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowl of the heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know Yahuwah. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Most High, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that hath not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my father.
Exactly. Thank you, sister. So we remember 2 Kings 17, Yahuwah said that through his servants, the prophets, he was prophesying unto Israel that they were going to cease from being a people, okay? So now through the prophet Hosea, he's telling them, you that were
that didn't have mercy, or Leruhamah, the daughter, but that's what the name meant, he was going to have mercy. And you, Naomi, the other son, that which meant you are not my people, you will say it through the prophet Hosea, you're going to be called his people now. Okay? Because in verse 22, he said, the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel on the seed of Israel. Okay? And this is what he said about the seed of Israel. I will sow her, okay, Jezreel, her, unto me. Okay, you see what he says, Jezreel. Jezreel was a son, okay, was the first son of Hosea, which meant the seed of Israel. But listen to what Yahuwah said about it. He said, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her, the house of Israel, okay, that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them, which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my most high. Okay? So now we should have this understanding when we read in the scripture now. Now when we go to the New Testament, we can see where the northern kingdom was broken. So when we see these terms, Gentiles, when we see these terms, strangers, pilgrims, all of this stuff, it was still referring to the house of Israel. Okay? Because he said in verse 22, he was going to sow, verse 22, the earth shall hear the corn, the wine, the oil. They shall all hear Jezreel, or all hear the seed of Israel, the entire house of Israel. So now when we see in the New Testament, when we read scriptures in the book of Colossians, where, or the book of Galatians, where he said that there's no more Jew nor Greek, Jew, Gentile, male, female, all of those things. And all this stuff has been broken down. We are all one upon the Yahushua now. We're one people. Okay? So, Sister, now can you get me 1 Peter chapter 1, read verses 1 and 2 for me?
Okay, I only heard part of you, brother. You were breaking up. 1 Peter what?
1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Yahushua, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of our Father Yahuwah, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yahushua, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied.
Okay, you see who is Peter writing to right now? He said, Peter, an apostle of Yahushua, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Okay, now let's see who these strangers was in verse 2. He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of the Most High the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Yahushua. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Okay? So now I told, like I said, the only, back in the law, the penalty for idolatry or whoredom was you were going to be cut off. But through the blood of Yahushua, now the northern kingdom has been brought back. And now that our sins are forgiven, we are one people now. So we can see now who Peter was referring to. These strangers are not Gentiles, like we think, not the heathens. These were Israel. And we can see that. I'm going to read now, flip with me to Isaiah 45th chapter, and I'm going to read verse 4. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to see who the elect are. Because we just saw, read in Peter, where he said the elect. He's writing to the elect according to the foreknowledge of the Most High. So let's see who the elect are. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4. Okay? For Jacob, okay,
or Israel, my servant, sake, and Israel, my elect. Let me read that again. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect. So we're reading now who the elect are. The elect are the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, I have even called thee by thy name, surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So now we see who the elect are. Okay? Now we're going to go to 2 Peter, and I want to read verses 1 through 10. Okay, I'll read that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And let's remember, you all, when we're reading this, what we read in the book of Hosea, which he said that you who did not obtain mercy, you were going to obtain mercy, northern kingdom. And you who were not called my people, you were going to be called my people now, northern kingdom. So let's see now, in the New Testament, he's saying the same thing, okay? This is 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that Yahuwah is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of the Most High and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, set apart priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the Most High by Yahushua. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now let's pay attention to verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness, northern kingdom, into his marvelous light, which in time past you are not a people, northern kingdom, but are now the people of the Most High, which you have not obtained mercy, northern kingdom, but now have obtained mercy. Okay? So, sister, you got anything to add to that?
That's my phone acting up. Well, it was beautifully said, brother. I think that the family gets it. I mean, if they don't get it, all I can say is take it up with the Father. But go through those scriptures that we went through, family. Start reading our history, understanding who the strangers and sojourners are, understanding that the Father's word will not change, nor will it come back void. Now, I did have something I want to add. When we were reading out of First Hosea chapter 1, okay, in Hosea chapter 1, it spoke of how Hosea was told by the Most High, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Okay? It says, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Most High. And we understand that backsliding Judah also committed those same whoredoms later on if you continue reading the book of Kings, because both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were taken away in captivities. The northern kingdom, Israel, went under the Assyrian captivity, and the southern kingdom, Judah, went under the Babylonian captivity. Now, we understand what we were doing to be displeasing to our Father and be chastising to be scattered. Well, one of the things that our nation of people kept doing was sacrificing to the gods of the other nations. We were not keeping righteous judgment. The law was not being kept properly. We were doing everything opposite of what he told us. So when we go to Revelation 17, because we just read in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, the beginning of the word of Yahuwah by Hosea. And Yahuwah said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Okay? And later we'll read a little bit more about this woman who's a whore. But you got to understand, it was always talking about our people when it refers to a woman. So you go to Revelation 17 and it says, and there came out of the, it says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. I'm reading out of Revelation 17, verse 1. And talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, we know the waters is talking about the peoples. But what people? Well, this is our history book. And we know that we committed many whoredoms as a nation. Not just a woman being a prostitute, but as a nation, the people. It tells us, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now, we just read about that. That's what the prophets were telling the people during the time of the kings. Okay? I pray you get an understanding. So he says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. He was talking about his people, Israel, when we were in the book of Kings. Okay? He said, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman, okay, sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. The color scarlet was always given to Israel, by the way. So we're still the woman is Israel. Something's going on which should not be going on. But this is revealing to you. Keep in mind that we were considered a whore, a harlot, all those words that we don't like to talk about. Yes, that was us. So it says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the Mystery Babylon the Great. Babylon is confusion. The mother of all of harlots and abomination of the earth. These same words we're going to read about in a second. It says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. And if you read our history, we were killing people unrighteously. And with the bloods of the martyrs of Yahushua, even going into the new covenant. Think about what the apostles went through and many of the people. It says, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now that's taken out of Revelation 17, talking about this mother of harlots. Okay? So when you drop back down to the rest of Hosea 1, and you keep hearing the father talk about this mother of whoredoms, and he's giving you the example of this woman having a child, and, you know, it really represents Israel. But I want to take everybody back to, and we read this before, Ezekiel 16. In Ezekiel 16, I want to read, I'm going to pick up, let's see, I don't want to read the whole thing because we only got about 15 minutes. Well, I'm going to read it because you probably need to hear it. Just keep in mind, this woman that sits on a scarlet-colored beast, they talk about her silver and the gold. A lot of people think they're talking about the Rome, Edom. No, see, Rome, yes, they blaspheme against the Most High, but that was not his people. That was not his people. He's concerned about his people, and that's who he punished. You didn't see Rome getting scattered. Rome traveled by foot, boat, whatever means they had. They moved. Our people were scattered. So he's talking about our people. He's dissatisfied with something in Revelations and trying to reveal it to our people today. So when we go to Ezekiel 16, the Father lets us know, and the word of Yahuwah came unto me, this is Ezekiel, saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Now remember, we had just talked about Israel. Now we're talking about Jerusalem. Okay, we're talking about Judah, because Judah was in Jerusalem. He says, and say thus said Yahuwah, the father of Israel, unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is the land of Canaan. Okay, because we were getting our beginning in the promised land. That was the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. Speaking of the land, that's what was in the land when we got there. As for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou was cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou was born. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to an excellent ornament. Thy breasts are fashioned, speaking of Israel, the woman, okay? Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown. This should take you back to Isaiah chapter 3, the daughter of Zion, is still part of Israel. It says, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. Behold, time was a time of love, or the word mercy, same thing, family. And I spread my skirt over thee. The Most High is spreading his skirt or his covering over us. That's why when you get to New Covenant in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 3, well, Yahushua was born by then. Okay, he came in the flesh. So now, instead of us and the Most High, you got that one mediator between the same thing that we're reading about in Ezekiel 17, 16. We're reading about the Most High and his people. Now we have Yahushua in the New Covenant. There's only three powers of authority is what I'm trying to show you. Letting you know this is talking about Israel, the people. So he says in verse 9, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Speaking of Israel, I clothed thee also with embroidered works, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and chains upon thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thy ear and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Here we go, verse 13. Thus was thou decked with gold and silver, the same thing that harlot in Revelation 17 speaks about. And thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou was exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. This is when we were a virtuous woman, okay? And thy renown went forth among the heathens for thy beauty. All the other nations saw how beautiful we were, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith our father Yahuwah. Verse 15, pay attention. But thou didst trust in thy own beauty and playest the harlot because of thy renown. Now, we just read in Hosea 1, he's still talking about Israel. Particularly, he was talking about the northern kingdom. But both the northern and the southern kingdom both sinned. So we're reading here in Ezekiel, he says, but thou didst trust in thy own beauty, talking to all Israel, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornication on everyone that passes by, his it was. And of thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The light shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredoms with them. Now, we just read in Hosea, he was talking about the wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms, speaking of Israel. So when we read Ezekiel 37, that's the same thing as that great whore that we're speaking about in Revelation 17. I hope y'all getting this. This is a speedy way through it, but I'm just trying to give you a head up. If they're telling you to look at Great Britain or America, Babylon, don't look like that. because what we're speaking of, family, is the confusion. We didn't keep the Most High's law. There's confusion. We did not sacrifice unto him properly. There's confusion. We're not talking about the land of Babylon. We're talking about the concept of what the word confusion means. You know, Babylon means, it means confusion. So he tells us in Ezekiel 37, verse 17, thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and my silver, which I have given thee, and madest thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredoms with them. Okay, we were adulterous. We were saying to our father, we were going out to the other gods and whoring ourselves with the other nations. It says in verse 18, and tookest thy broidered garments and coverest them, and thou hast set my oil and mine incense before them. We were worshiping them with the proper things that we should have worshiped our father with. And my meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for sweet savior to these gods we made. And thus it was, said the Most High, Yahuwah. Verse 20, moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hast born unto me. Remember, the opening of the matrix, we were supposed to take those children and dedicate them to our father. He says, and these thou hast sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? And what he's talking about is like in the New Covenant where we, through the accepting of Yahushua, and we get baptized, or shall I say born again, or whatever they want to call it, but it's where you're getting baptized with the set-apart spirit and fire. We were baptizing our children to these other deities, offering them to the other deities, teaching them. The fathers taught us lies. Remember Jeremiah 16, 19. They were learning of other gods and not our fathers. So that's what he's talking about there. Okay, verse 21, and thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. Verse 22, and in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and was polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, said our father Yahuwah, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place. We were worshiping false deities on every high grove, high hill, and every grove. It says, and has made thee a high place in every street. We're still doing that today in these churches, family. I hope you realize what's going on. Thou hast built up thy high places at every head of the way, and has made thy beauty to be abhorred, and has opened thy feet. This is the whoredom. This is the whore. This is the harlot, not a prostitute, and has opened thy feet to everyone that passes by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and has increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. I'm going to skip to verse 28. It says, thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast insatiable. Yeah, thou hast played the harlot with them. And you keep going on, verse 29, thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornications in the land of Canaan unto Chaldees, and yet thou wast not satisfied. What I'm showing you, family, is by the time you get to 32, it tells us, but as a wife thou committest adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. That's Hosea 1 telling you the same thing. We are called whores, harlots. Verse 35, wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of Yahuwah. Because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abomination. And go to Revelation 17 and try to figure out who that woman is. That's all I have to add, brother, because we got probably about four more minutes, and I don't want to take up all the time. But I did want to kind of go there, and not to be saying like that, but if you go to 38, it says, and I will judge thee as a woman that break wedlock. When you were reading about Hosea and Gomer, it still was talking about Israel. All these lessons within the that was preserved in the Word is still talking about Israel. Brother, that's all I had to add.
Well, that's good enough, sister. I pray, you know, family, that, you know, we get these scriptures and learn this stuff, because
you know, this is basic stuff, you know, when you read in prophecy to learn, you know, what the scriptures say. Because if we're going to listen to what human flesh or man say and not what the Most High say, we're going to be in trouble. You know, so that's why we need to take heed to what the Most High say, so therefore we can know, you know, what's coming upon the earth. Because like Sister always say, this is our history book, and we got to take hold of that. You got the whole world fighting about this book. So, I mean, all the wars of the world, most of them anyway, have been started behind this book that we got. But you see, everybody who pick it up to try to read it, do this and do that and live by it, so on and so forth, is not for them. It's for us. It's only for one people and one people alone. But the whole world wants this book, the whole world claiming that they're the people of this book, but we the only people that can prove that this is our book. So that's why we need to take hold of our book, learn our book, so that when the Most High do come, we'll be ready when he get here. But anyway, I thank you, family, and I pray you have a good week, and shalom.
Shalom, family.
Everybody loves love.
Love.
Ooh.
love.